Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by Sheena Shea, host of the podcast Shenanigans with Sheena Shea and star of the Bravo show Vanderpump Rules. And we're talking about being single, masturbation, and so much more. Topics include freezing your eggs and why it may be something to consider. Why being single for a while after jumping from relationship to relationship can help you realize what you actually need. Making sex compromises and actually sticking to them. And how to get over panic in the bedroom and get into more pleasure. All this more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. Have you not seen our website yet? You should see how awesome it is and how it's set up to help you have better sex and relationships. You can also find me on SiriusXM Monday through Friday, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock East, on Channel Stars 109 for even more sex talk. It's a good show. It's a good time. You can also get a free trial. Go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. And as always, you can find us on all social media at Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy this interview with Sheena Shea, and then we're going to get into your email. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Sheena Shea is here with me.
Hi.
Yeah, hi, Sheena. You might recognize her from Vanderpump Rules on Bravo. And she's got a podcast, Shenanigans, which I was on. It was so fun.
Thank you. Yeah.
I loved being on your show.
We actually mentioned you on one that I did today.
What did you say?
Well, I did a single girl's guide to getting through the holidays while not getting depressed.
Right. Good one.
And I just said, not necessarily for me, but I said, for those of you who are into this sort of thing, I said, you know, buy yourself a sex toy. Like, go shopping, this and that.
It's so true.
We talked about that, but the two girls who were on my podcast felt the same way about me. They're like, we've never done that. I was like, yeah, me either.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up because I brought you some sex
you
toys.
You did.
Yes,
I've used the lube and the mouth stuff, but
the blowjob spray, it's right there.
Yes, that.
I told you, do you use it during blowjobs or do you use it? Because I use it for the show and blowjobs, but I use it to like clear my throat.
Yeah, no, just for the blowjob so far.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Oh, just for the blowjob. How'd that go?
Good.
It keeps your mouth lubricated when you have a dry mouth.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's good. Okay, so haven't tried the toy yet. But is it okay that your mom's here? We're talking about your sex life.
Yeah, I mean, my mom's been hearing about it all day.
Okay,
so
perfect.
We're
so
good.
You know what? Because let me tell you why. I believe that we don't talk about sex enough in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Well, I mean, and telling you to mom, last night I banged this guy, but what? Just
oh no, that
about
is my
sex,
conversation. With
well,
my
right,
mom.
My mom too, but not everyone's like, okay, good. So we don't have to worry about that at all. So you did a show on single girls. So you're single right now.
Yes.
How's that going? I know
good.
You're like been in and out of relationships. Oh, that's good.
I've been single, yeah, since last August.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
And you are, so you're not, so there's, you've used the lube and the blowjob spray and masturbation? No, it hasn't.
No.
With a toy.
Just haven't.
That's okay. So what else is going on with you? What's the latest?
So yeah, I was just doing podcasts all day today. This morning, I met with Dr. Gadir at Southern California Reproductive Centers. I'm going to get my eggs frozen. So I just went today for step one, which was blood work. And then I'll have to go back and do like an ultrasound next week and then more blood work and then start all these prenatal vitamins and all of this stuff tomorrow. He told me I have to cut out alcohol and weed. So... Oh. That'll
well, you're
going to
be really productive maybe
yes,
the next
but he
weeks.
Said I only have to cut out sex for the 10 to 12 days of shots.
Oh.
And I can use that as a stress
10
relief.
10 to 12 days, you can do anything.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll get all your like holiday shopping done early.
Yeah.
So tell me about freezing your eggs. How old are you?
I'm 33. I'll be 34 in May.
Okay. So what came up? What was that about?
I mean, I'm
smart,
single. I
right?
don't see myself, I don't see that status really changing. I don't see myself having kids in the next few years. And I just think I have the means to. I can afford to do it right now. I don't have a ton of things going on while we're not filming. Like I have my music I'm doing in the studio and my podcast, but that doesn't take up all of my time every day. So I just felt like this is a good time. I don't have any trips booked until February. Just get it done now.
Yeah.
So then I can just go to Australia and New Zealand in February and
oh,
just
amazing.
Know that it's done.
So that's great. So
yes.
that is, I think that is now. I mean, now that they have freezing eggs, and I think a lot of women are doing, you're supposed to do it before the age of 37 so you can actually don't you take that pressure off. So
yeah.
you're not dating someone going, oh my God, my clock is ticking and all that.
Exactly.
So I have a question for you. So you said you've been single now for a year and a half.
Almost. Like a year in August, November, October, November.
That's
yeah,
good.
Like, yeah,
because
like
I know that you
months.
Were in a lot of relationships and I did the same. I was in relationship after relationship and then I took a break. I think I was about your, I think I was like 34, 35. I was like, you know what? I need to figure out who I am. Like, who's Emily without a man in my life?
Yes.
So how have you done some of that? Like, what does it feel like or what have you learned?
So, I mean, I was single for like 6 years and then I was in a relationship that turned into a marriage and divorce for the next 6 years and then I got into another one right after that and then when that ended I've just stayed single. I mean, and people keep saying you're hopping from guy to guy and I'm like, that's called dating. That's not relationships.
Exactly.
I have not been in a relationship with anyone since my ex-boyfriend and that ended last August. So I've been single since then. I've dated a lot. I've traveled a lot. I did a show in Vegas for the first half of the year. I was headlining out there, which was so much fun. And
so you must meet. So yeah, you meet a lot of guys.
Yeah, especially in Vegas. Vegas is a really
oh, yeah.
easy place to meet hot guys. You just like go to their show and then you meet them after.
So. Exactly. You go to their show, whatever they're playing. Or
yeah, you know, like
doing?
Magic Mike or Chippendales
yes.
or Thunder from Down Under.
That's hot, right?
Yeah.
The men. What's your type?
Tall, dark, and handsome, usually. I mean, but I have different types. Like, it depends. I mean, it's not all about looks, but, you know, I like someone who's got something to hold on to, some muscles, like a little over 6 foot. Yeah.
That's what you think it is. So, I mean, because I'm always, I mean, I definitely have a type too. I like taller, I like things like that. But what about, is there anything that you've thought since you've been more single now? Any work on like what is important to you? Like as far as like values or something that you won't deal with anymore?
I won't deal with anyone who's selfish and narcissistic like someone I dated was. I want someone who's not necessarily always going to put me first. I understand other things happen in life that take priority, but just who's not going to put me like fifth. And
yeah,
when I'm in, I'm all in. And that's one thing with me. I tend to spoil the person I'm with like right away. And I just do so much for them that I think it gets taken advantage of really early. And I just want to be with someone who can do a little bit of that for me too.
Yeah, that makes sense. The time away makes you realize... Yeah, like that. And then you start dating people. You're like, oh, you don't have, this doesn't feel good when we're together. Like, I think sometimes we go out with people and we're like, we're attracted to them and we forget like, no, these are the things that I need. Like
right.
You were a dick. You were mean to the waiter. You were cheap. You
yeah.
know?
And like with my life, I mean, my life is very public. I don't have the luxury of having much privacy. So I need to be with someone who is okay with that. Doesn't like want to be on the show, but is okay being on the show, but isn't trying to like,
can we talk about that for
it.
A minute? So
yeah.
What's that like? You have, you know, on Vanderpump Rules, like super successful show.
Yes.
I mean, it's in people, everyone loves the show. And so in LA, like how, how do you deal with that? Like with fame, do you feel like you can weed out guys who might just want to date you because you're on a show, or is that you must get so much attention and meet?
That's probably why I'm still single, because either no one can handle it or they feel intimidated by it, or I make more money than them. And just, I think there's just a lot of pressure and attention that comes into my life with anyone I'm dating, because, you know, I did publicly get engaged, married, and divorced and gone through another breakup. So it's like anyone knows, like, the second we start dating, and if that's on Instagram, it's like you're gonna have attention on you now too. So I need to be with someone who is man enough to deal with that, but isn't trying to use me for that attention at the same time.
Exactly. And then how do you try? And then what if you met someone who's like, yeah, I don't want to be public though, but I still...
Everyone says that. That's the first thing they lead with. I don't care about the show. I don't want to be on the show. And I'm like, you realize though, you have to say that, because if you don't, then I'm going to assume that. So everyone says that. It's just a matter of time until you find out if they actually mean it.
Right. But wouldn't it be great if they didn't though? If they really meant it. Like I did a Bravo show like 6 years ago. I was living in San Francisco. I think we talked, it was called Misadvised. And it's so crazy, San Francisco, because nobody wanted to be on the show. None of my friends. I had a boyfriend at the time, and he was like, I will not be on the show. I was like, but they won't. You have to be. And he's like, nope, I won't do it. And then I had to break up with him because it was a dating show. I'm like, I thought he could come on and just be on it. My friends didn't want to be on it. They had to try to find, no one wanted to be on the show. So here, though, everyone's in the biz. They want to be on the show.
Yeah.
It's a totally different world.
It's crazy.
How was it when you were shooting? Like, how do you feel about, I mean, obviously you still keep doing it. I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it. Like, I could talk about my stuff now because it was 6 years ago, but like, do you ever look at it and go, that wasn't how I'm portrayed? Or do you think overall now the net of the 6 seasons you've been on?
This is 7, yeah.
7 seasons, that it is kind of you.
No, not at all. I think you see such a different side of me the last couple years. I think in the beginning it was very me. And then after I got married, I think I just kind of got caught up in, you know, just not like the fame. I mean, we're not famous by any means, but just like the attention and all the publicity and press and events. And I think I got really caught up that I kind of forgot to put my relationship first for a while. My husband was struggling with addiction at the time, and I wasn't the best person who was there for him. I was more of an enabler and didn't even realize it. So after that ended, I felt like I was more myself again, but then I hopped back into another relationship, and then I realized watching that back last season, I mean, it was like cringeworthy. Like, there were so many episodes that I just like fast forwarded through my scenes because I just couldn't watch myself. I was like, that is not me. But they're like, Sheena, but that's who you were all summer. And I'm like, but that's just not who I am.
But that's also how they edited it together too.
Well, yeah, because
in some way, like, there were all
they
moments.
Only showed my relationship. They didn't show any friendships or anything going on outside of my relationship. So my whole storyline was just one story, whereas it could have been 5 different things, but they chose to only show one. Right. So people are only seeing an annoying side of me being obsessed with my boyfriend and not any other good thing I did, or anytime I was there for one of the girls when they needed me, they show Lisa there instead. And it was like, I was like, I was the one who comforted her first.
Well, that's
like,
the
I was
thing.
There.
Right.
But they didn't show any of that stuff. So it was frustrating.
You can't do anything. That is frustrating because you can't go back. I mean, I remember there was some fight they created with this guy who was dating. I'm like, we never got in a fight. Like, how did you do that?
Yeah.
How do you chop it all up? So then what would you want people? So let's say there's someone listening now and he's like, God, I've been obsessed with Sheena. I'd love to date her. But like, she seems like, I don't know, whatever. She's going through guys. And what would you want people to know about you? What's the real thing?
I mean, I think I'm hoping, just based on the life I lived this past summer and what we filmed, I mean, I'm hoping that you will see the real me. I mean, we have so many episodes. I don't even know how many. So it's going to be a progression of just getting to know where I'm at in my life now a lot more. But I'm very down to earth. I'm very humble. I'm family oriented. Like, my mom's here with me right now.
I know. I love this.
But I'm very kind and giving, and everyone is like, you know, you have such a big heart, but it's just always taken advantage of. But I'm just trying to, especially like at my age, like, I'm not looking for love by any means, but I'm trying to not be closed off to an opportunity.
Right.
So,
okay, that's good. That's a good way to be, putting yourself first, which sounds really selfish, but the best time to do it is when you're single and you work on it. You're like, you're freezing your eggs, you're taking care of yourself, you're having girls over, doing a podcast. How do you be a really good single person?
Because when I'm in a relationship, I put that person first and foremost, and myself is on like the back burner.
But see, I don't think you should do that either.
I know.
I learned that. Yeah. You're like, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't. But I think that is a thing that we often do. And I think as women, we're taught, or maybe your mom was like that with your family, who knows? But like, we're pleasers.
Uh-huh.
And we give and we... And we forget that we have to like take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And then what I've also found is that in life, like that's really hot and sexy to men that you have your own life and they're just,
right.
It's not like we're half person looking for another person to make us whole. It's like you want to go into a relationship when you're whole.
Uh-huh.
So sounds like that's definitely what direction you're going in.
Yeah. So I'm just putting myself first right now, and I'm going to be freezing my eggs first of this year.
Crazy. That's exciting though.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Are you filming it? Or no, because the show's done filming now.
No.
You're not filming the eggs things. But what about if people don't know about Vanderpump Rules? A lot of our listeners, like just say, wow. Explain the show.
It's a shit show.
It is, but amazing.
I mean, it's like The Hills on steroids, but not scripted.
Right.
We all are friends or enemies.
We've
all worked together. Some of them lived together. You know, there's a lot of relationships. There's been a lot of cheating. There's been a lot of fighting, a lot of drama. But
what do you think people love about it? What do you think is a success? What do you think?
I mean, it's very entertaining.
It is.
But also, I think a lot of our storylines are very relatable. Just even like going through the divorce and dealing with my husband's addiction and things that I've gone through in my life, like so many thousands of people can relate to.
So relatable. How did you deal with the addiction? What was he addicted to?
It started out with painkillers, and then it was just excessive marijuana and drinking, and then it was Adderall, and it was always one vice after another.
Okay, and then how did you deal with it? Well, you ended it.
Yeah.
But is it like, when you said you were an enabler?
I didn't realize. I mean,
well,
the income I was making was providing this lifestyle for him, and I didn't know that. So when I thought he was paying for studio time, he was paying for pills. So I was enabling this without even really knowing. I just made it easy for him.
Okay. So that's something to watch out for. Addiction's a tough one, you know? Unless they want to get help, they're not going to get help.
Yeah.
It's really tough. So I'm glad you got out of that place.
Me too. And even just me doing that was like another thing that so many women said was inspiring, because it's easier to stay and be unhappy. It takes, you know, a lot of courage and a lot of money to divorce.
It does, right? But you did it. So now you're here now. So what's the things that you're most excited for then? Next.
So I just got back in the music studio. I'm going to release an EP in a few months, early spring. So that's exciting. I wrote the first song that I've ever written. It's called Better Without You, and it's like a breakup song, but I'm going to put that out around Valentine's Day for all the single ladies.
People love breakups, especially Valentine's Day.
And it's catchy. It's upbeat. It's like island vibes. It's really happy. So I'm focusing a lot on that right now. My podcast that I do weekly. And
did you love our show? Because I brought you
such
good treats.
Oh my God, it was so much fun.
Wasn't it fun? I was like, I came back to my office and I told him, I'm like, I love talking to them about sex because, you know, also you're sitting here now, you're being interviewed. That's also always more, I think it's more fun, but also just like the conversations we had about orgasms, and we just got there. Like,
and
it was
I
just
still
fun.
Have that bag next to my bed. So like the
you
lube and
the
stuff,
orgasm stuff. Because I was, can I just say this? I want you to have an orgasm. Like I've been.
I mean,
like,
I have, but
I want you to
a couple times.
Okay, right. You think, but this is why we just had a caller. It was an email who was like, I don't know if I've had an orgasm, so I want this for you.
But I want someone to give it to me. I don't want to try and give it to myself.
But why?
I'll just get bored.
You won't. But have you tried?
It just, I feel like if I'm not like in it mentally, then I'm just like forcing myself and I'm not going to enjoy it.
But like what gets you turned? Do you know what turns you on?
A guy touching me, like who I'm attracted to, and then like kissing me, and just like that's what turns me on. Like I don't just sit at home and get turned on. Like
but
I don't.
Do you ever think about sex or like watch porn or anything?
I used to, but I really don't anymore.
I get it because I'm not often. I mean, I'm talking about sex all day, and I'm like, okay, I don't want to go masturbate. And sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but I know that it often makes me feel better. And I don't walk in going, I'm in the mood. We're not like dudes a lot. We're not always top of mind sex thinking. Jamie might be, but I'm not, right? You are.
Yeah.
You are thinking about sex, or you're not.
Yeah, no, I'm like a dude in that sense.
So this is why I think the missing link is you going home and masturbating, no pressure for me and no pressure on yourself to have anything happen. But what if you're like lying? First of all, you're going to be getting the eggs.
I know.
That's going to be a thing. You're going to be on hormones. You're going to feel not great. I'm just planting the seed here.
Yeah.
That when you're in bed and you're watching movies over the next few weeks, because you're going to have some days, that you take out that little tango I gave you, I think it was the WeVibe tango.
Uh-huh.
And you plug it in and you're just like, maybe you're tracing off your arm. Like, how does it feel when I have someone touches me in my, like, inner wrist? And then you just kind of have it there with you. Yeah. It feels good. And see what happens. Even if sex isn't top of mind, it's a kind of thing that vibration is going to take your, like, oh, that feels good. Because then when you're in a relationship, it'll make you even more, like,
yeah,
able to move and stuff. Okay? So I'm just checking in about it.
Yeah. Not, okay. I haven't yet.
Not yet. I get
when
it.
I do, nope. You'll be the first to
you
know.
You promise?
Yes.
Like, you... We don't have to now. You could text me,
yeah.
But I'm thinking about it.
Yes,
because that's the role I play here in the universe. Is like I'm like the orgasm person, like orgasm fairy. I was that once for Halloween. I held the magic wand.
That
as my
is
fairy.
So cute.
She was. It was very cute.
It was
oh my god,
cute.
I love that.
It's not the orgasm fairy because I just want to like bless you know the orgasms all around.
Yeah,
so it's good. Did you? So what was the single tips for the holidays? We all need it.
Oh, I would need to grab my notebook. Let me see. I wrote them all down. There were so many.
I love it, though, because we've been talking about the holidays are a bummer. First of all, a lot of people break up over the holidays. A lot of people are alone over the holidays. And what I found is it just like community, like at reaching out to people, reach out to your friends, like doing the things, like keeping busy. Like I think you can place as much emphasis as you want on the holidays
yeah.
or not, but really like just be with your buddies.
Yeah. So this will be out on Tuesday, but I said, you know, like throw a holiday party. Go to an amusement park, volunteer, buy yourself a sex toy.
See?
Take a solo
practice
or
what you
group
preach.
Trip.
Okay.
Spa day or night, game night, holiday movies, shopping, get a tree, decorate it with some girlfriends, eat a lot of food and worry about your diet in January. I said, find like a funny way where if your family's like asking you like, oh, where's your boyfriend or something, like find a funny way to be self-deprecating about it and to like make fun of yourself and to kind of make them feel stupid. Just like, right. Oh my God, you know what? That was what I was supposed to ask Santa for. I forgot. I needed a boyfriend. Like, my bad. Let me go find that. Like, just say something to, you know.
Right. You got
to
get prepared for that if your family gives you pressure.
Start a new tradition. Cross an item off your bucket list. Listen to good music. Do you and don't go back to an ex.
Oh, I love it. Have you done the thing of gone? You go back to exes. Have you done that?
No.
Okay, good.
No, they keep popping back up.
They always circle back.
Yeah.
They often circle back.
But I've never gotten back with an ex after like a hard breakup.
That's good. I think that's healthy.
Yeah.
I used to sometimes sleep with my exes, but never got back together. Usually when you break up, there's a reason.
Yeah.
You're like, I know why this ended. We went through the whole process. So, you know, not a great XX. I mean, sometimes XX is fun, but don't do the full get back
yeah,
together again.
Yeah, no.
So what do you want to cross off your bucket list? What's on the bucket list?
Well, I can't do that before the year ends, but Australia and New Zealand is top of my bucket list.
Is it for fun or for work?
I'm going to make it a little bit of a work trip. Because,
so you can write it off.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, but Vanderpump Rules is really popular in Australia.
So I'm sure, really?
Yeah.
That's so fun. So you get to do like appearances and stuff?
Yeah, so I want to do like a little bit of like a press tour and then just like stay for a week after that.
Oh my God, I love you going with friends?
As of now, I'm going by myself.
Oh,
so
see, traveling alone?
Yeah.
That for me was some of the best thing I ever did is travel alone. I went for like a year though when I was like 26 through Southeast Asia, but even throughout that, ever since then, like I always still love to have like weeks alone and you'll pack your toy and it'll be really fun.
We were talking about that. I was like, okay, what if like, you know, I do end up just going to Australia by myself. I said, I have this like Bluetooth speaker that always gets flagged in my carry-on because just the shape of it. I'm like, watch, they're like pulling out my speaker and then they pull out a dildo and then they pull out another, like,
that happens
to me. This girl's going on a fun trip.
That is a fun trip, and it's not illegal to travel to, especially to Australia. We've got a lot of listeners in Australia too,
in the X-ray machine.
Exactly. That's happened to me. I've brought so many toys through and I'm just like, yeah, it's my job, I'm a sex doctor, you know what, what do you think about that? So I have to ask you, we have five questions that we ask every guest.
Okay,
so I'm gonna ask you these.
All right.
Look at my notes
though. Okay.
Just don't overthink.
I can't
them.
Even see that far.
Okay. Biggest turn on.
Like physical personality or just like
anything,
in general?
Whatever came to you. What was the first thing that popped in your head?
I mean, someone who's just like interested in me, like not someone who I'm chasing. Like I want someone to like chase me a little bit. I'm not used to that.
Okay. Got it.
So
someone
showing interest that's like, oh, okay.
Let's turn on. Okay. Yeah. Biggest turn off.
Ooh, bad teeth and nails.
Okay. Your nails are amazing, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
Like, love the nails.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, hygiene,
biggest
you know?
Hygiene's important. Sexiest body part to you?
On a guy?
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
See, I've never really been an abs person, but in my single year that I've had a lot of good abs. But, I mean, honestly, a good thick
dick.
Yeah, a good thick dick. Girthy dick. That's all we want for Christmas.
Yeah.
Okay, something that you wear that makes you feel sexy.
Anything short and fitted. I love like also like crop tops, like if it's like a little like two-piece set.
Yeah.
But something that shows some skin, I always feel sexy as long as I have a spray tan or it's summer.
Spray tan.
Yes.
The best thing ever. Okay, and let's see. Funniest sex moment.
Ooh, there's been a few. I mean, it could be when we were trying to film it and we're like holding the phone and then the phone threw against a wall and then I don't know. It could be when the cat's trying to join in.
And right. Filming too. You film sex and watch it, right?
Well, we've tried it.
It's kind of hot.
I think I'm like, how about we like get, you know, like a stand.
Yes, get the stand.
And do it the right way.
Right, like that stand here. We've got those stand. Yeah, use that stand.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm always like, I don't think you should do it with a rando because you don't want to release sex tape.
No,
but someone who's fun. Like yeah. It's hot to film it. Because then you're in the moment, you're filming it, and yeah. Then you're like watching it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we're really freaking hot.
Yeah. But whenever the cats are staring at me or like trying to jump on the bed, I'm just like, oh my God. And then it's like, if I lock them out of the room, then they're just meowing. See? And that kills the mood. It's just like, can
cats
I have a few minutes to
cats
myself?
Cats are like that. You're right. I love cats, but because of the sex, yeah. they don't ever leave you alone.
Yeah. No, literally, like last week, we finish, and then it's Salem, my black cat, is just sitting on like the TV stand. Staring like he's gonna kill us. I'm like, this is so weird.
Your cat could talk. I know. People have emailed like,
judging
the dog.
Cat.
You're judging if the cats could talk.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. Okay, thank you, Sheena Shea, for being here.
Yes, thank
this
you.
This was a blast. Everyone, check her out. It's tell me all your places to go.
So it's just at Sheena. It's S-C-H-E-A-N-A on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. New episodes of Vanderpump Rules every Monday, usually at 9, but some cable providers are different. My podcast is out every Tuesday, Shenanigans on Podcast One. And new music coming soon in February and March.
Great. Thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on everything, the eggs, the show, the life, the singledom, making it great for you. Thanks, Sheena Shea, for being here. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're getting into your emails. Okay, guys, I love answering your questions, and if you want a question answered on the show, go to my website, sexwithemily.com, click the Ask Emily page, and as always, include your name, your age, where you live, and how you listen to the show. Jamie's here. She's going to read the emails with me. Hey, Jamie.
Hello. Okay, so this first one comes from Allie, who's 27 in Oregon. She writes, "Hi, Emily. I love your show, and you've opened my eyes to how sexuality is nothing to be ashamed of. My question is about kink. My boyfriend and I have been dating for a year. It's my longest relationship, and I love him a lot. While I'm very pleased with our sex life, he says he's more kinky than me. On occasion, he'll slap my ass or pull my hair, but that never bothers me, unless it's too hard and hurts. I told him I might be into kink, but just don't really know what that means, and he had a hard time explaining what else he wants. Can you please help me understand kink and some tips to spice up my sex life?"
All right. Yes, I will, Allie. Let's talk about kink. Okay, so here's the definition of kink. Essentially, kink is anything that falls outside the realm of what's considered conventional sex. So, you know, kissing, penetration, masturbation, oral sex. So just think of something that's kinky. Like kink is anything that bends, right? Bends away from the straight and narrow. So things like fantasy, role playing, fetishes, group sex. And just remember this, that what is kinky to one person might not be kinky for somebody else. So the deal here is with your boyfriend. I mean, I love that he told you that he's into kinky stuff, but you guys need to have a conversation about it because it's totally cool that you don't know what he means. I don't know what he means. It sounds like he doesn't know what he means because he's also having a hard time explaining what he wants. And this is a completely typical situation that happens a lot. He knows there's something he wants that maybe is outside of the norm and he can't explain it, which is great because now you guys can sit down together and you can ask him and say, you know, what does kinky mean to you? And you can also see how you feel about what he says and then do some research on your own. You know, kinky is really just, you know, what you fantasize about. If you have fantasies, you know, when you're masturbating, you might want to read some really cool erotica or watch some of your favorite sex scenes. Check out some porn that makes you feel good. And then you can bring some of your stuff to the table. And so it's really about having a conversation and figuring out what turns you both on, what you both agree on, and then you can go from there. So it's not just all up to you, again, to figure it out. And, you know, we talk a lot about like how, what if you don't know what you like? And again, that's just something that, you know, you got to do research on your own. But remember, this is going to be a really good time for you guys to really get into it. So if he says to you, I want something, you know, maybe he, I don't even know, I'm trying to think of, he wants to tie you up, but that doesn't sound great to you. A great practice is to be like, no, that sounds weird. I don't know what it is, even if you don't know about it, but to just ask more clarifying questions. Because the cool thing about this is couples can often compromise. Like maybe you don't want to be tied up, but maybe you want a blindfold, or maybe you only want your arms tied up and not your hand, you know, your hands tied up, not your feet. Whatever he's into there and whatever you're into, there's ways to find a common ground so you guys can both be satisfied.
Okay, so this next email comes to us from Evan, who's 22 in Minnesota, and he writes, hey, Emily, I listen to your podcast all the time during my 7-hour car rides. I love what you do. In some of your talks, you say that there is not a certain amount of times a couple should be having sex a week, and that we should come up to a compromise about how many times together. I've been in this relationship for 6 years. I'm a very sexual person, and she is not. We had a talk about how often we both prefer to have sex a week. I prefer pretty much every day, but obviously she won't agree. So I said once a week at the very least I'd be okay with, and we agreed on once a week. Sometimes there are a few weeks in a row where she doesn't feel up for sex or anything at all. She says she feels pressured to have sex once a week, and I love her so much and I don't want her to feel that way at all. I want to marry this girl, but I don't want to commit if I go months without sex. It sounds selfish, but it's just high on my list of the 5 love languages. I'd love to hear any advice that you have. She's the girl of my dreams.
Okay, Evan, thanks for this question. So this is what it makes me think in reading it. The reason why she might, you know, be feeling pressured is a lot of us, when we have like a deadline on us or someone's like, you must do this, it automatically takes the fun out of it and it becomes like another chore. It becomes like another task, another item on our to-do list. So of course, you know, you don't want her to feel that way, and this is not your fault. So I think that it sounds like we have to figure out together with her, what is she into? Like what she might, you're young, you're 22. She might also be around your age. And remember that she might not have found that thing about sex that excites her yet. And so there, it sounds like there has to be some exploring to do. Like, is she having orgasms? Does she masturbate? Does it seem like once you start having sex, she's really enjoying it? So these are the questions you guys need to have, because she really does have to meet you halfway on this. You know, couples know, I'm not going to give everyone a prescription for how many times a week they should have sex, but I can tell you that once a month isn't enough. I'm just going to say it. So I feel like once you kind of go at it from, babe, I love you, want to spend my life with you, let's figure this out together. And you start asking, like, what does turn you on about sex? What, you know, what pleases you? Do you masturbate in a very loving, open way? You're going to find out maybe what's beneath it and why she doesn't actually want to have sex, or why weeks go by. Of course, sex is on top of your list. It makes sense. So, you know, we want to get it to top of her list. So that only comes by a conversation where you're, you know, it's not pressuring. It's just more of a, let's talk about sex, baby. Let's figure out what we're both into. So I think slow things down, you know, and just have a really healthy conversation. And remember, it's not a one-time conversation. This is not going to be a one and done. This is going to be ongoing. She might need to be do some research and figure out what she's into, but I think you guys can get there with healthy talk for sure.
Okay, so this next one is from Asia, who's 35 in Texas. She writes, hi, Emily. I love the show. Listen all the time. You're my friend with the best sex advice in my mind. LOL. So I went through a painful divorce almost 2 years ago, and I just started dating again. I met this guy who, after 1 week, texts every day and makes attempts to hang out, and it just feels overwhelming. Since I started dating, I noticed there are a ton of guys who are avoidant attachment style, and I definitely don't want that either, but it seems like I am more attracted and drawn to those guys, and I'm not sure why. I'm so torn. This guy is really making an effort, but a part of me just does not seem as interested, but I do want to give him a chance. I'm just scared. Can you help?
hey, Asia, I can definitely help you with this. So this is a common thing you often hear, like, why do I want, you know, every guy that wants me, I don't want. But then the ones who are unavailable, you know, those are the ones, like, give them to me now. So that happens, that we get attracted, people pull back. But here's what's going on. When you're talking about attachment styles, there might be something going on with you with intimacy. Like, maybe the reason why you might be attracted to the unavailable guys is because you're actually not ready yet to really be intimate and open up to somebody else. You went through a really painful divorce. I'm glad you took 2 years off. And there's still probably a fear there about being hurt and opening up again and being really vulnerable and just being yourself. And you are scared here. So if there's a guy you want to give a chance to, right? Like, I think it's great to just kind of, you know, try it out. There's something that, you know, other people have called duty dating. I don't love that word because it makes it sound like, yeah, I still have to do my laundry and, you know, get my car washed, and it just makes it not sound fun. But there's certain ways that there's the people that we're attracted to, like, that we keep going towards. And eventually when we see that there's a pattern there, we kind of just say, you know what? If I'm getting butterflies and I'm walking towards this guy in the bar, I should turn around and go the other way and kind of pick someone else. So I think give this guy a chance. But remember, he just might be someone who's really interested. He's never thought, like, to play games or to be, you know, or pull back, which I actually like. But you can talk to him. People appreciate feedback. And you can say to him, you can go out with him and say, you know, I just want you to know this has been a great date. I'm not during the week. I'm super busy. Text doesn't really work for me. Or if I don't get back to you right away, be patient. We all have different communication styles. There are some people who actually feel safer when someone texts them every day. So we're all different in this area. So that's definitely something you can work on. And if, let's say, you do like this guy, you can figure out a communication style that works. But I would not discard that guy just because he's eager and seems into you. So think about those things and how they resonate with you, and let me know how it goes.
Okay. Caitlin, 21, in Texas. She writes, "Hi, Emily. My boyfriend and I were both virgins when we met. We used to have an amazing sex life, but little by little, certain sex positions started hurting, and now, no matter how long sex lasts, it ends up hurting and I can't finish. I also usually end up having a panic attack and crying at the end of sex. My boyfriend is super supportive, but now it feels like he doesn't want to have sex with me because he doesn't want to hurt me. Help."
Oh, Caitlin, let me help you here. This makes sense. You guys have gotten yourself into kind of a loop here. You know, he doesn't want to hurt you, and then you're having pain. And so it sounds to me like if you're having pain, you have to go see a specialist. I'm not sure if you talk to your doctor, your gynecologist. A lot of times they don't really know where to direct women for pelvic pain. And so I think you should go see a pelvic floor physical therapist. You can find them. They're probably, you know, under your health plan, or, you know, just do some research online. You should definitely check out a podcast we did with a woman named Heather Jeffcoat, and that came out a few months ago. So yeah, I mean, if you're having regular pain, there could just be an issue, you know, with something that's going on with your muscles down there. Maybe it's been going on since you were a virgin. Maybe you don't really know, but a lot of women have pain that can really be solved by seeing someone who specializes in this. So she would give you exercises to do at home, or you could work with her or him, whoever. It's probably a woman. I would say there's probably not a lot of male pelvic floor physical therapists. So I think that's one thing. Get that settled, because now you guys are getting in a loop of, like, you know, sometimes we get anxious when something happens during sex. One time it could happen, and then we're like, oh no, I'm gonna have pain. And we might even be, like, worrying ourselves into pain, and then he's worrying you're having pain. So I think that, you know, make sure that you guys, like, slow things down, make sure that you're already really turned on, because foreplay could definitely help. And if you guys are both virgins and, you know, you're 21 years old, there's some great learning to do here. And I would highly suggest that you take time to figure it out on your own. Some masturbation, some touching your body. Maybe you guys could do it together, mutual masturbation, but just make sure that you're warmed up. You know, you might also be having pain because you're not turned on, you're not warmed up, your body's not ready to receive him yet, which happens a lot, you know, because men and women just get warmed up and turned on differently. He's all ready to go and you're not turned on. It could hurt. So, you know, I'm not really sure which one of those things are, but I can tell you a good prescriptive of foreplay and always using lots of lube. You know, I love lube. and getting checked out by your doctor. And I think you guys can solve this together. And remember, just be really honest with him and let him know where you're at in this journey of seeing a doctor and with the pain, so you guys can continue to have healthy sex. And currently, you don't have to stop being intimate just because you can't have intercourse right now. In fact, I would say that maybe this pain is a message for now, or a great time for you guys to say, we're not going to have intercourse, but let's, you know, practice on oral sex, foreplay, sensual massage, you know, things like that, so you can truly connect on an intimate level and understand what really gets you both turned on.
So this is from Chris, female Chris. She's 31 in Georgia, and she writes, "Hi, Emily. I recently began listening to your show, and I enjoy all the things you discuss. I've been with my boyfriend for 7 years. We have a 5-year-old together. But for the past 4 years, there's been another man in my life. My relationship with my boyfriend is very lackluster, and I've felt for a while that he has no desire to move forward. He's still married. I did leave him, but he said he had changed, so I came back. He hasn't changed. What do you suggest to help me take that leap and move on with my life? The other man has been a very good friend first and foremost, but I feel like there's something else there. I've told him how I feel about him and don't get any genuine feelings in return. We've been intimate, but that's very few and far between. I understand that he may not want to divulge because what can really happen between us? He often tells me I assume too much, but never gives clarity. When I'm single, I intend on prioritizing myself, but would like to see where this could go. Am I getting my hopes up? How do I not jump from one relationship to another when I've been into this guy for so long? Thanks you for your time and your platform. Your advice is immensely appreciated."
Oh, okay, Chris, let's unpack this. There is a lot going on here. Okay, let me just work through this with you. For one, your boyfriend, the fact that your boyfriend that you have a kid with is still married, and he was married, I'm assuming he's been married while you had the kid. And then maybe now he's separated, but it's still been 7 years, no divorce in sight, and he hasn't changed. You've given him a lot of time to change. You guys have been together for a while, and so this is something to learn. You know, when people show you who they are, believe him. He's already, you know who this guy is, and it seems like I understand that you share a kid together, but this sounds so messy, and I want you to be able to get into a much healthier space. And you know, it's a typical guy married, gonna leave, not gonna leave, and you've already been in this, and it's time to close that chapter. Yeah, and the other guy too, he's showing you who he is. Why isn't he being as much on board? You know, he's playing games and not telling you what you need right now. Or all I'm getting from this, the bottom line is I believe that you truly need to take a break right now. You need to figure out, like, who is Chris without a man in your life? And you even said that when you're single, you do intend on prioritizing yourself after you see where this other thing could go. You're already getting a sense this other guy may or may not be into it, and you've got a young kid. So I would say this is the time. Why don't you, you know, this is a practice, though. I'm not saying it's going to be easy because you've always had men in your life. And it sounds like it's been dramatic, too. And sometimes we have relationships that have drama in our life because it's kind of, I don't know, it seems exciting or it keeps us interested. And it also, though, I'm talking from experience, keeps us from really being able to see clearly what we want, because we're so caught up in drama and trying to get someone to like us and come back, and then they leave and they come back. And so I'm just feeling like, Chris, you need the serious you time. Who are you without a man? Who are you, like, aside from these relationships you have? You know, you've been in a relationship with him since you were 24. You've been with this guy, or 23 or 24. You're 31. So for 7 years, you've been in a very complicated relationship with a guy who's married, and then you have a kid on your own. You're a single mom. So I think it's time for you to build your community that doesn't involve guys that you are sleeping with. So it could be guy friends, women friends, other moms, other parents. And this is something that I don't think we talk about it enough in our society, like how important community is, and having a sense of self and a sense of people around you that you know have your back. And that's often how we grow, when we actually meet people that are really healthy, when we kind of filter out people that aren't serving us and we draw towards us people that we really care about and that are going to be our friends. And you know, the way we live now, we live away from our families, and our friends actually become our surrogate families. So I feel like that is what is the most important thing for you right now. And I think kind of let go of both of these guys. If the other guy comes back around in a year or 6 months, great. But now, Chris, I'm concerned about you and taking the time. You know, take the leap to have it be the year of Chris and figuring out, you know, all the things that work for you and getting rid of the things that don't. That's what we got time for today, huh? All right. Thank you, Jamie. Thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Samantha, intern Michelle, Jamie, of course, and Michael. Hey, let me know. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.